Well, it's the podcast. Fabulous, Adam Richard, outrageous, Scott Brennan, punch and Toby Sullivan.
Here is always present.
Now, can I ask you two a question? I was devastated to be alone at Mardi Gras this year. I was with people, but I wasn't with you two. Where were you?
We, hang on to your hats, found ourselves together in Adelaide.
Yes.
Aww. On Mardi Gras night.
Yep.
Finally together at last.
For our various
sins. And how did it go?
Do you know what was weird, Ryan? We went to Mars, obviously.
Clearly.
Right.
Where else are we going to go?
The law.
Because that's, it's the rule.
Checking in with head office.
And it wasn't actually fucked, was it?
What?
Like nothing kicked off, no anecdotes, no terrible. Romeo, if you're listening, it was nice to chat. Nothing serious happened. No big deal.
We did end up just chatting to a hairdresser called Romeo. That was the highlight. We got hammered.
Yeah, we got smashed. But it wasn't heinous.
No.
It wasn't terrible. I was a bit rude to Romeo. Because, you introduced me, you said, because I was away, and you said, Toby, this is Romeo.
Oh, all right.
And I said, Romeo, you're shitting me. Romeo? Really? Romeo? And Romeo was very cool. He was like, Romeo.
Yeah, totes Romeo.
I get the feeling that sometimes Romeo pronounces it Romeo. I think he's a bit...
Like when Stephen calls himself Stefan.
But it was just...
good. There was no dancing with underpants on our heads. There were no toilet shenanigans. It was all just a night. I don't know.
You're saying that I'm the bad one?
I don't think we're saying it. I think that's what's being indicated.
I think
though.
We've demonstrated it.
Yeah.
With objective tests.
Oh, no.
Delta Goodrem was there. Yes. Everyone relax.
Yep.
Everyone relax. She came over and did her whole, pretending to care for long enough for the conversation to come back to her.
Yes.
Hi, mwah, mwah. How's your show? Oh, I'm not actually doing a show. Great. So, tomorrow night, she was like, awesome. We don't have to waste time not talking about me and listen to your shitty show. We can get straight onto my fucking frothy antics. So that was fun. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Sounds like a conversation with Wiz.
Oh, sounds like every conversation with Wiz. But I'm just remembering it as you're talking about it, Toby. That's why I'm not really contributing much because I've actually wiped most of that night out of my head. I'm only remembering it as you're saying it. Yeah, we did see Delta Goodrem, but I tend to block her out anyway.
That's fair. So we had a relatively mild night.
Oh.
What happened to you?
Well, I got spastic with Anthony Kalia.
Did you?
I've traded you two in for...
Really?
For an actual celebrity.
It's like trading in two Coke cans and a piece of string for an iPhone.
Yeah.
It's so much better and more convenient to carry around.
So you
went to the parade?
Yeah. Tim Campbell was singing and hosting this thing called the Glam Stand.
Oh, yes.
And so, Anthony and I just hung around there waiting for him to finish work, watching the parade and basically slagging off Kylie Minogue and her inability to sing as they celebrated her in front of us.
Great.
Yes.
And because the Glam Stand, they have their own entertainment bit while they're waiting for the parade to turn up. And part of their entertainment was the gayest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And you've seen
gay porn.
Are you ready for this?
Mm.
Leo Sayer. In the rain, with an umbrella, singing You Make Me Feel Like Dancing on the back of a ute as it drove up and down in front of us.
What?
Just like cutting laps.
What the hell?
Laps in the back of a ute.
Why the back of a ute? Like a country fete or something? What the hell is that?
So they left the lesbians in charge of the entertainment office.
They've gone, let's get someone camp, but not too camp.
No one gay, just sort of a bit woofy.
No, it's because of the only way they could get him to perform was to tell him he was going to Afghanistan. So that's why there was a use.
Yeah, we want someone who's a bit of a cross between Ronald McDonald and Gollum. Let's put him on a fucking ute.
You know the weirdest thing? He looks like a Muppet.
Wow.
That's so, awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular.
Like, as always, when I hear about those gigs, I can't help but fantasize about the list of people who said no first. Oh, come on, Ruby. Just like 10 minutes. Click. All right, who's next on the thing?
Todd McKenney. Oh, shit.
Hello, Deborah. Deborah Hutton. How do you feel about sticking firecrackers up your ass? Hello? Oh, fuck. I got to call Leo. Oh, shit.
It was camp.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's great.
It's fairly spectacular.
Who else did you see there?
In that little entertainment bit, they also had Sarah McLeod, formerly of the Super Jesus, doing a rather amazing dance version of Dancing in the Dark, the Bruce Springsteen track.
Jesus Christ. Okay, when did Mardi Gras become satire?
Okay. And then you went to the party, I suppose.
No.
All right.
Because Kylie was on and there were going to be 4 million screaming poofers there. It's the first time it's sold out in about a decade.
Right.
And I don't want to be at the sold out party.
I don't want to be a part
of it. So what did
that.
You do? Where did you go? Did you?
I went to Pie Face. Then went back up to my hotel room and masturbated in a pile of crumbs.
Wow. Best Mardi Gras ever.
Yeah.
Leo Sayer, Ute, crumbs, wanking. Tick, yep. Tick, tick, tick.
I was really hungover from being out with Thomas Jespers the night before.
Oh,
Jesus, right.
Friday.
More of that later.
Me. Yeah. We should get on with the rest of this podcast. It can't just all be my war stories, girl.
Oh, come on.
Other people needed to.
Let's face it. All I know how to do is take off my clothes. Talk Puffy to me.
Is this the Puffcast?
Oh, yay!
It is! Oh, my God.
Play on for the next round. You could win a barina.
How are we?
We are awesome.
Well, have you been answering the phone like that all day?
All day.
Just in case?
All day. Yeah. I had a schedule today to do interviews, and every time I had to call through, I go, can you hurry up, because I need to get to the Puffcast.
Oh, yeah.
We are talking to the divine and the spectacular Anthony Kalia, who has an awesome new single out called Last to Go. Buy it on iTunes. There we go. We've done all that. Now let's talk about your penis.
Yeah.
It's so exciting to have someone good.
Someone on the talent.
Someone who actually does something.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Instead of just going through the phone, just going, oh, who's fucking awake now?
Let's call them. That's a compliment. Thanks.
Yeah.
You've done a couple of things. You've sung a song or two here and there.
Yeah.
You know, you're now a stalwart of the Carols by Candlelight. As soon as Marina Pryor dies, you will hold the crown.
Yes.
You know, she's afraid to walk.
I want to be the new Marina Pryor, please.
You want to be the new Rhonda Birchmore, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
I've got legs like Rhonda. Yeah.
You're about the size of one of Rhonda's legs. Like, if she's ever in an industrial accident, she can just prop her stump up.
But you do have male genitalia, so both of you do, actually. Like, No.
Oh, my God.
Rhonda's really lovely.
I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
She is.
I only hear good things about him, so.
No, I know that there's no male genitalia under that dress because I've hidden under that dress before on a red carpet.
So. Have you?
Do you and Rhonda Birchmore ever get drunk and just say, hey, listen, let's go to the opening, right, and we'll get a really long overcoat and I'll sit on your shoulders. It'll freak everyone out.
We had a few to drink together once on the plane. She ended up moving her seat so she could sit next to me, and we actually had a very good laugh and drink on the plane. It was very funny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine the stewardesses, the waxy apples on that plane? Prolapsing. Oh, my God, La Birchmore sitting next to Anthony Kalia.
And I'm just imagining both of you just sucking back the gin and tonics like there's no fucking tomorrow.
Yeah.
And just screeching.
And her feet touch the floor and mine don't. Yeah.
Do you know what? You two should totally make a detective series.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And you sing every time you find a body. You do a number.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That is a great idea. Like, you're the brains, right? You're the brains of the outfit. And she's like an explosives expert.
Yeah.
And you're around doing all your little shitty sort of fucking Columbo sort of, you know, right. Just one more thing. Right. And then she's like, it'd be amazing.
I'm so confused. Where the fuck is this story going?
We don't know. We never know where they're going to end.
Can we tell you something, Anthony? Toby is actually desperately infatuated with you.
Yes, he is.
It's a little intimidating speaking with you, Anthony.
He's only human. Take a number and get in line.
I went through a pretty serious Anthony Kalia phase about 4 or 5 years ago. And once a dance remix of you singing The Prayer made me cry when I was doing the ironing drunk.
The dance remix made you cry?
Yeah.
I think I cried too when I first heard that. It was so bad. I was just like, why on earth have they done a dance remix to The Prayer?
What are they thinking?
They thought that Poofters might want to dance to it.
And boy, didn't we.
It was the heat from the iron. It was maybe like 3/4 of a bottle through. And it just tickled my gay gland. And there we have it. So you've touched people. You have touched people.
Yes.
Thank you.
I burnt a shirt, but you're touching.
You know, the other day, I was my car has like a hard drive in it with songs on it, and so I just press shuffle sometimes, and things
look
just...
Look at you with a hard drive in your car.
I know, I'm totes grown up.
You do a TV show, and look at you, you're pulling all the money.
it's basically the Holden's version of a Corolla. It's nothing glamorous. But the prayer came on, and I was trying to sing along. The words that I make up for the Italian bit are amazing.
Oh, yes.
But you're not the only one. I make them up all the time. My grandmother always tells me off. She goes, you don't pronounce it like that. You have to pronounce it like this. And they're going, Nonna, I don't care.
Yeah. Like, I haven't actually learnt them, Nonna.
It's sold a shitload and no one understands it. Great.
I was going to say, get off Nonna's case. Imagine being like that to your grandmother. I got 4 gold records, says different, you old bitch. Yeah. Put the veil back on and make some moussaka.
Moussaka?
That's Greek.
I don't know.
General Mediterranean.
General, yes. Non-specific.
Really racist.
Because this show is really politically correct.
Yeah, it is.
Now, Anthony, I've told the boys already about watching Leo Sayer sing on the back of a ute.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He was good.
But it was just the concept of being driven up and down in front of us. Like it was,
the campus thing ever, because it was like singing with an umbrella as well. It looked like Mary Poppins.
Who was driving, though?
A lesbian.
Right.
No, the funny thing was, it was going up and back, and I don't know if you remember, Adam, but it was like on a budget, like, trailer truck, it had the actual budget sign on the side as well.
Oh, no!
So, wouldn't you think to actually cover that? Like, it was so embarrassing.
Maybe they did cover it and it washed off in the rain.
Maybe they were driving back and forward because they were afraid there would be someone up one end who would just be going...
I can't
get a good view of Leo Sayer.
Yeah, it was a bizarre night, and seriously, it was my first Mardi Gras that I ever went to, but it poured that whole night. It was ridiculous, and couldn't keep up with Adam. He had his tongue down every guy's throat.
Oh, we've heard about the cop. We've heard about the policeman.
No, do you know what I was doing with it? Like, you know, at the end of the night, because the parade's finished and people are coming up and asking me and Anthony to have photos taken.
No. Let's get something straight. They weren't asking me. They were asking you. They were asking me to take the photos for them.
That's true.
And he was loving himself sick.
I know. Because I'm in Sydney, I'm totes gamous.
Oh, wow.
And but then it got to a point where I was like, I'm quite bored of these photos. And then someone vaguely hot came up and wanted to get their photo taken. I was like, yeah, I'll only do it if you make out with me first.
Oh, my God.
And they did.
Oh, my God.
So then I just had this parade of guys wanting to make out with me and get their photo taken.
Yeah, boys, I have proof. I have the photo on
my phone. Oh, my God. We need those photos and they need to go on the website.
Right. I don't think those other people want to be on our website seeing to be passionate.
You know, I think he had a boyfriend, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, my God. That bloody Tim Campbell.
Oh, dear. It was quite a silly night. And it was so muddy. Like, there was mud up to your fucking knees on the way to the pool.
Yeah, and remember, I went to the toilet, and this guy said, I'm waiting in the toilet line, and he goes, oh, you shouldn't have worn white runners here to Mardi Gras. And I went, for starters, who are you, my dad? Tell me how to dress. Seriously, they're $30 from Zara. They'll just go straight to the bin. It's fine.
But I love the way that your very first reaction was, mm-mm, girlfriend. Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah, no one asked for your fucking opinion.
Do you know what I love? Was they gave these free ponchos when you came into the glam stand area.
Oh, good. No, good.
Yeah, because it was raining. And
That's great. They got a whole grandstand look like it's filled with used condoms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what? I rocked up at Anthony and I was like, where's your poncho? He's like, what? I'm not wearing that fucking thing.
Poncho, please.
It was it clashed with his headwear.
This was your first Mardi Gras.
Mm.
Oh my god! And so, what's the verdict? What do you reckon?
I think it's great. Like, overall, I had a great night, but I actually just want to go back where I can actually see part of the parade properly and not feel like a drowned rat and experience it, like, and have a bit of fun with it. But, you know, maybe I need to do it a little bit more classy, because this year, like, Tim was hosting a certain part of it and he goes, come along because there's like a glam bar and everything. And I'm like, okay, cool, I'm there. It's called a glam bar. Yeah, it's no glam bar. It's fucking scaffold with a freaking tent on it. And I was just like, I'm drinking out of a plastic cup. But not to be a diva, I don't drink out of plastic cups.
What were you expecting? Well, don't go to Adelaide.
Yeah.
What were you expecting? You know, Mark, you know the parade happens in a street.
No, I get that. But, like, apparently you have to buy these tickets. They were, like, $250 each. Ooh. And I'm there going, oh, well, for $250, you would expect something, you know. No, it was a tent.
No, you were expecting business class Emirates, and you got fucking Tiger.
I was expecting a mahogany room. I was expecting a poker machine.
Kalia's gone to Mardi Gras, and it's just there. She's going, they haven't even built a separate structure for me. This is so trashy.
I did love it. I thought it was great, and some of the floats were amazing, especially that ice sculptured one.
Oh,
that was
cool.
Yeah,
that one.
It's amazing. It's a lot of nude men parading up and down dancing to Kylie songs.
And a lot of tits. But put them away.
I know, it's too late for them.
Of tits. What did he say? What did he say? Too much?
A lot of tits.
Tits.
Yes.
Like areolas.
Yeah, everyone's
enough already.
Too late at night for bookies.
Is that your new single, Like Areolas?
Yeah, no.
Just like areola.
No, his new single is this one here. Oh. Gonna be the last girl, but just one night. Yeah, I'm gonna be the last
girl. I'm saying give all night. A double shadow. Can I ask you some pop nerd questions about
pop
the record?
Nerd.
Pop nerd. Yeah. Who wrote it? Did you write it?
I did. I wrote the lead track with the DNA Boys in Sydney, and on the EP I actually wrote with Paul Mack, who I was very excited to work with.
And who produced it? I'm huge into everything.
Yeah, the
Eurovision
DNA
and
Boys.
Swedish and all that stuff.
You know, the DNA Boys produced Last to Go, and then the rest of the tracks were produced by Michael Darcy, another producer in Sydney. But I wrote one with Jaakko in he's from Finland, and I worked with him in LA. And there's a track on there that I wrote with Matt Morris. And I basically, when I met him in LA, I just said to him, I go, I want to put you in my suitcase and bring you home with me, because it was just amazing. And, you know, he'd written for Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera, but he was the most humble person, and he didn't throw that in your face whatsoever. And he actually didn't tell me. I had to Google him. And
then
and I went, you didn't tell me that you did that song. You didn't tell me that you didn't.
I'm Googling him right now.
Oh, my God. So,
I want to find out about this dude.
So you call it Googling. We call it stalking.
Stalking.
Yes. I had to stalk him to find out.
What's it like working with those real, like, pop geniuses? You know, there are certain producers or writers that can just kind of see the matrix, like, and they just go, oh, what we need here is, like, this synth sound or this, you know,
this cowbell
progression or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they
we
just know
accordion.
How to fix it.
Give me accordion.
Some of them were a real pain in the ass to work with, to be honest. And then there's the ones that are actually really good at what they do, there's actually no bullshit attached to them. And that's, you know, they're the ones that you want to work with. The ones that are still trying to, I don't know, the ones that drop names and the ones that have so much attitude are the ones that really haven't done a lot.
But
so,
just in terms of like making a song, though, is it weird just with someone who just knows how to do it instinctively and they just go, oh, we just do this, and you go, oh, you fix the whole song?
Yeah, totally. Like, Matt Morris was definitely one of those people. Like, if he had something to say or if he wanted to change something, I would just let him go with it and see what he comes up with. And then, you know, most of the time it was totally in the pocket. So it's actually quite daunting, though. You're walking into a room and you basically have to open up your, you know, your mind and your all your thoughts, and you don't really know these people. And
I guess too, in the back of your mind, it's just like, okay, well, the last person you worked with was Justin Timberlake, and sure, I'm that good. Sure. I can take Timberlake in a fight. Don't worry about it.
I'll cry you a river.
Yeah. Fine.
Oh, dear me. We'll go out and get it on the iTunes. It's available now all around the world. Is it worldwide?
It is.
It's not region blocked.
No, it's worldwide. I paid the extra fee.
Anthony Clear, you are a delight and delicious, and we shall catch up soon.
Oh, thanks, boys.
Thanks,
you.
Anthony.
Bye-bye. Kisses.
To me. I'm ready. I'm open and ready for business.
Your channels are open.
Yes.
All right. Let's open the sluice gates. and get TJ on the line.
We are talking to Thomas Jaspers, who we have established is the gayest child who ever lived.
Yes.
And swiftly turning into one of the gayest men on the face of the earth.
It's been a while since we've chatted, Tom. How's everything?
Look, I'm fragile at the moment.
Why?
What's happened?
I went to a barbecue at my grandma's house last night.
Oh. And, how does that hurt?
Well, it was lovely. It was a nice night, except my grandfather was on the couch eating a hot dog, and he sort of...
Sorry, is this a porno?
Yeah. You sort of see where my fondness for phallic objects comes from. Anyway, so he spilled all these crumbs on his lap, and so she pulls out the dustbuster and starts dustbusting his lap, and she goes to him, oh, maybe this will get it up.
Oh,
Nana! Oh, no.
I know. And it was sort of like whispered quietly, like we weren't supposed to hear it.
And but they're both like,
you were supposed to hear it.
She was whispering quietly over the sound of a dustbuster.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Nana Slocum.
I know. It very much is.
Now, Thomas, I wanted to talk to you because we had some fun in the Mardi Gras together.
We did have a bit of fun in the
On the Friday. We blew all our fun on the Friday.
Yes, we did.
What happened?
We blew it early. What did we do? Well, I started the night by going out. I was in Sydney making my stand-up tour debut, yes.
Supporting Nathan Velvo in his Grindr program.
Hello, Joel Creasy.
How did that go? How is the stand-up?
Oh, look, I don't want to blow my own horn.
It's really good.
Well, and from what I hear, you haven't had to for quite some time.
Oh, wow.
But look, it went all right. It was enough for a cause for celebration. So we had some drinks after.
Okay.
And ended up at Arc. Have you guys been to Arc?
Yes. Just on Taylor Square there.
That's right, yes. But they were having an underwear party.
Oh, right.
Oh, yay.
Which I didn't realise. And they rocked up with two very pretty boys, one of which I was trying to pick up.
Was that Valvo's flatmate, the hot doctor?
Yeah, Valvo's flatmate.
Yeah, very hot.
Hot doctor.
Yeah. What underpants were you wearing? Were you wearing bad underpants?
Well, it's the thing. Like, I kind of thought, like, in Melbourne, like, there's, like,
six people in their underwear and everyone else was sort of standing around perving.
Yep.
Also, Carl Catter tells me. And so I was like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. I'll just go in and I'll stand at the bar in my clothes. And I got in there and everyone was, like, butt naked. So, like, I decided I'd do it because I was drunk and I stripped down.
Right.
And they give you, like, a garbage bag and you cloak your garbage bag.
Yeah.
Right. And the problem with me is, like, I've got, like, a trick body. Because, like, a pretty face. I look good in clothes, but as soon as my clothes come off, it's like, oh, no, thank you.
Your Spanx pretty.
Mm. It's a very serious condition. I caught it off my ex-boyfriend.
You caught it off your ex-boyfriend. No, he looks doughy from the outside.
You reckon?
Yeah.
No comment.
So you took off your girdle and...
Yeah, exactly.
Or your Shatner fell out.
Yeah. I'm not exaggerating. Like, I went out for a smoke because I was like, this is too depressing. And this really pretty boy came up to me and said, oh, hi, how's it going? And I was like, oh, fat, how are you?
Have you got any chips?
Yeah. Exactly. So, no, but I danced for a few hours and I tried to get into it.
Tried
and then
to put
I was
someone's
like, oh,
eye out with your boob.
You can talk, Richard.
You know, the terrible thing about when Tom dances in his underwear is that not everything stops when the music starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ripples in the pond continue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everyone's going, what's that hand clapping sound?
But if you look at him, you can tell if it's been a polka or a waltz. Sorry.
I love the idea of...
No, it's totally fine. I've given up on picking up anyway. Don't worry.
I love the idea of someone having a polka at underwear party at Arc.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that was... Jesse J, and now it's time for the polka.
Yay, grab your partners, everybody.
Coming up this hour, boys, it's time for the Pride of Erin.
So you were dancing.
So anyway, yes. Kirsty Alley, back to the story.
You were at the Biggest Loser singles party.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it wasn't. Like, everyone there was fucking beautiful, and I was like...
Of course they were at Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like... Like Adam on the dance floor in the middle of a whole lot of boys. So I was like, oh, I'll find my friends. And I looked around and the guy that I was trying to pick up was like right in the middle of this fucking, like literally getting his dick sucked in the middle of the dance floor.
Wow.
Literally. Like actually undies off.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Which wasn't Nate's housemate, it was someone else. But just for legal reasons.
Yeah.
I love your tone of voice when you say that. It's just like, no, so I turn around, he's getting his dick sucked in the middle of the floor.
From
like,
someone, yeah. Someone else.
Typical.
God, yeah. That'd be
like,
nice.
I wish I'd thought of that first. Yeah. So I was like, okay, time to leave. And I went to the cloakroom and I gave him my little card and I waited and waited and waited and waited. And he's like giving all these other people their bags back. And then I was like, oh, mate, sorry, have you got my bag? And he goes, no, I already gave it to you.
Oh. And
I was like, no, definitely didn't. He's like, no, mate, I gave it to you.
No, because if you'd given it to me, I'd be wearing my clothes.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you're lying. And I was like, mate, I'm not going to walk home in my underwear to prove a point to you. Like, I kind of need my wallet and pants, at least.
Oh, my God. This is like underwear party, high school nightmare.
People, yeah, exactly. And of all the people in that club, like, I promise you, most of those boys would have been very happy to walk home in their underwear. They had amazing bodies.
Right.
But of all the people in that room, I was the one that was that naked.
Yeah, so what happened?
The manager came out, and he was so lovely. He's like, I'm so sorry. This has never happened before.
Oh, yeah.
And he went and got me a promotional Arc singlet. And his gym shorts that he had in his bag at the back. Oh. So
you had to Richard Simmons your way home.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I got to go meet the fabulous Adam Richards in someone else's smelly gym shorts and an Arc singlet.
Oh, my God. So no sign of clothes or anything? What happened?
No. The next day, I called them up, and whoever they'd given my bag to had dumped it in the club.
And
money and stuff was missing. But I got most of it back, so it's okay.
So they'd given it to the wrong person.
They'd given it to someone else. I'd given him my card, and he'd given it to the bag to someone else. But because it's all garbage bags, you don't know.
Yeah.
And so instead of going, these aren't my clothes, someone else might need this.
Yeah.
They went through your pockets.
Oh, a bit of cash. I'll just take that and dump the bag.
Oh,
they obviously didn't want my size 32 tubies.
Do you know what? I can remember a time when you could trust people at an underwear party. They were kind of simpler
times.
I'm
sure you can. Yeah. The 1940s were very trustworthy.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's because in the 1940s, underwear was larger and much more protective.
Right. And you actually could have pockets.
But, yeah, yeah. Ironically enough, you could secret things away more easily in those underpants. But correct, we just correct. Didn't back then.
Do you know what? Listening to your story, Thomas, I had a horrible feeling that it was going to end with, and then as I was leaving in the singlet and gym shorts, I saw all of the evil buff twinks in the corner going, we made the fat guy walk home in his underwear.
Yeah, yeah, no. We did it.
Oh, my God. And then it would have been like that last scene in Carrie and the doors all slammed.
And then everybody in Sydney would be like, oh, why, look, that pig's walking and crying.
And eating a kebab.
That is a nightmare. That is a legitimate nightmare.
That is really terrifying.
That is a legitimate
nightmare.
It was
pretty horrific. It wasn't as bad as the state that Adam was in when I did find him, though.
Oh, okay, right.
No, it was pretty messed up.
Adam Richards is probably the only person that's on, you know, the tally on the ABC where someone will come up to him and say, oh, I've seen you, and he goes, cut the shops. You nasty, vindictive old queen.
They do that thing where they come and they go, oh, now where do I know you from? And it's like, I'm meant to go, oh, I'm the fabulous Adam Richard from the television. And instead I just go, from the shops.
I get where you're coming from, Adam, but the guy was so lovely and so, like, you know, he's probably out from the country and he was just really nervous, and it's the first time he's seen someone off the telly and he was just so excited to see you. Oh. And he didn't want to be too overpowering. So he said, and you vindictively just like, out the shops.
And then he walked home crying.
Yeah.
But it's he was fat.
Oh, well, fair enough then. Yeah,
he was asking for it.
Yep.
Just like Thomas Jespers.
That's all we can hope for at this stage, Adam. Oh,
well, thank you, Jespers. Oh,
thank you, girls. Have a nice time.
We shall.
He's looking for a boy.
Poofter, eh? Little bummer boy.
Oh, that was the Poofcast. We're sorry.
Yeah, so sorry. We end so many of them by apologising, don't we?
We'll pick up the pieces and try.
We're really sorry, but we will inflict it on you again.
Yeah, we're going to get all these bits and decoupage them back together for next week.
Yeah.
On top of a chair.
I would be like, I would get on my thing. They've got no ideas. There's no reason. There's no intellectual heft behind it at all. They're just barking at each other. Pointless.
How many podcasts do you listen to where that is all they do?
All of them. They're all. That's why I can't stand listening to them. They're all so tedious. It's just people, we just get in the room, we just talk shit, eh? Yeah. Macca and Spodger and fucking...
Occasionally.
But what was that thing with Perfect Strangers? Like, Belky didn't even come from a country. Yeah. Fucking this guy, mate.
But the thing is...
You're on Dave and Dave in the morning.
We just talk shit about cocks, though. And really, it doesn't matter what's being said.
Look, it's subtly political. Listen. It's very subtle.
We should make one of those shit the talking poofy guys say video. It would just be, cocks, ass, rectal integrity. That was my nickname in high school.
Yeah. I'm drunk. I'm hungover.
I'm right here.
I think we just did it. We don't need to.
That was it.
That was it.
Shit-talking Puffy says.
Shit-talking Puffy says. That is.
Haven't we done 70 episodes or so of that, though?
Can't someone listening, can't some clever young person listening make that out of old podcasts?
They're too busy making their own Tumblr.
Right, yeah, yeah. Tumblr's just like things. Tumblr's like guys with iPhones in landscape mode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I know what
it
is.
Oh, I love guys with iPhones.
It is a hot one.
Oh my God, I love it. I'm going to go on it now and just have a little wink.
But do you look at it and get like equal parts horny and outraged at how dirty the bathrooms are?
I'm a true gay, so I get outraged that so many of the bathrooms look like hotel bathrooms. There's no personality in there, boys.
It's true. They're all hotel photos. Yeah. There's always the telltale telephone in the background of the bathroom.
You know, at the casino, there's a TV above the bath.
Mm.
Well, like, no, that makes sense because you sit there in the bath and watch television.
That'd be great.
Who's hanging a turd on the toilet?
And just wanting
to... Do you know what? I must call my broker.
Yeah.
Sell, buy, splash, sell, buy.
This is a joke from the guy who can't buy toilet paper as well.
I should never have brought that up. People keep talking about it on the Facebook and teasing me.
It's definitely become a thing. We need to make a meme. A Toby can't buy toilet paper meme.
We need to go Coney with the toilet paper. Maybe Channel 10 will broadcast that.
Toby 2012. We need to make Toby's toilet paper
2012. Did you see the project, right, the apex of journalistic integrity?
Yes.
Broadcast the whole Coney thing
in its entirety.
Yeah.
Do you know the thing about it? It's so manipulative. Like it is.
Stand by for the lolcats hour with Carrie Bickmore.
Yeah. But it's so manipulative. Like the video is, you know, it's like, okay, now we're going to push this emotional button and
of course it is. It's an ad.
It's a half hour ad.
Yeah.
And I was watching it going, this is so manipulative. I'm totally sucked in.
Yeah. I'm really buying it.
I'm really into it. Although I was excited about the fact that Coney had replaced Kim Kardashian for at least a fortnight in my Twitter stream. It was a good thing.
Yeah. Like, at least he's doing something.
Yeah,
you
know what would be the worst? If he marries Kim Kardashian.
Oh, God.
Coney Kardashian.
Coney. Oh, could you imagine the show? Imagine the... Oh, wow.
Oh, Coney, you can't kill those children. I've got a facial burn. You know what? That would be an amazing sitcom. In the style of like Beverly Hillbillies, she was an LA socialite. He was a murderous African warlord. And you know, like a hilarious sequence where like Coney can't get his Kalashnikov into the Viper room. You know?
Oh, Coney.
Kim sort of opens her bedroom door and there's like a pile of human skulls. Oh, Coney!
he's like Urkel.
Yeah. Urkel with a machete.
All the child soldiers are played by whatever the contemporary equivalent of Shortstop from Indiana Jones.
it's Will and Jada Pickett Smith's children.
I whip my gun back and forth. It'll happen somewhere. Yep. There's a network executive going, fucking record.
Great.
Do you know what? It'll be a sketch on Saturday Night Live that goes for about 8 minutes too long.
Yes.
Yeah, Coney will guest star on Saturday Night Live.
Guest host.
Please welcome Matchbox 20. It's going to be great.
I was watching, was it the quiz thing that they do at the Laird? They do the quiz and then they show Outland Live. And I said, I'll come and go to that. That'll be fun. And one of the questions was based on a Saturday Night Live sketch that had Dave Grohl in it. You had to guess who and John Bon Jovi. As it was going, I was like, I really hope the question is, how many minutes too long was that sketch? I think the answer is six.
Yes.
And it was only a 6.5 minute sketch. Uh-huh.
That's fair.
It was like a really funny kind of Hamish and Andy style joke that just kept going.
Was it a live sketch?
No, it was Andy Samberg. It was all pre-recorded.
Well, there's no excuse for that.
If
it's a live sketch, I understand. Because they've got to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
And there's someone getting changed for the next sketch over there.
Yeah, exactly. But a recorded sketch, that's just someone just likes John Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Someone just wants to hang out with John
Bon
Jovi.
Dave Grohl and...
I love Dave Grohl and John Bon Jovi.
I love them both. I love them both.
I don't know why I'm being shy about that. Like, well, I don't know why suddenly you've got...
He's gone inwards.
Hang on, what exactly? Back into some sort of closet.
Like, you used to be our rampant slut.
I know.
And now you're, oh my God, I would totally kiss him.
I would let him finger me.
Oh my God, you two are the worst rom-com ever.
Were we talking about anything in particular?
No, I don't think so. This is just going on.
Let's do something.
I can't. These records are indistinguishable from each other, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. What year is it?
Are you having some sort of alcoholic flashback? Oh, it's yesterday. Talk Puffy to me.